Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Thank you again for joining us on the program today, and I trust that you have been tuning in every week as we are continuing the series. I do know that because we are only on once a week on national television, that sometimes it is difficult to remember where we were the last time, but for your convenience, we always upload our television program to our YouTube channel. And I highly encourage you to go there and avail yourself to listening to these over and over again. And even if you have friends who are in foreign countries, because we close caption, everything that we teach is translated through YouTube in other languages so that they can at least read what we're saying through the closed captioning files that are on that. So share that with your friends. Go back and review these. I sometimes need to do it myself. A lot of the stuff that I study, I retain to memory, but sometimes I need to go back and jog on my own memory because this is vast, vast pieces of information that I think are being put together. I do not profess to be, the only one that knows anything about these things. I am simply telling you what I think God shared with me, and then you can research it. I'm certain that I will continue to learn as I continue to be a student as well and study other things that help me also to understand these things. But if you've missed any of them, go back to our YouTube channel. Not only our YouTube channel, but it is available also on our podcast, and you can do that by simply going back to our website at lynnhiles.com, and it will be on the screen at some point in this series where you can, in the upper right-hand corner, there are icons that will take you to our YouTube channel, to our podcast, and to the RSS feed. For your Android, you can listen to the audio portions of this in your automobile while you're commuting to work. I like to listen to stuff while I'm mowing my lawn. I put earbuds in and listen because I can redeem the time that way. Those are just good things to do. While you're there, we really would encourage you to sow a seed into this ministry or to become a monthly partner. I realize that we are swimming against the tide because this is maybe not the most popular view that's shared. And we're not trying to fight anybody else. We're just trying to offer an alternative to, I think, some of the stuff that I came out of. I was raised in the other teachings, and so it's not that I don't know what they teach. But when I started to see these truths, I could not unsee them. Now, if you go with me back again today, we started last week in Revelation 11. We did one segment on Revelation 11, and we talked about the times of the Gentiles and the mystery of God being finished. I'm going to come back again into Revelation 11. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." Now, I want us to go back here again and read this from the book of Daniel. I believe the 42-month siege of the city of Jerusalem by the Romans must be compared to Daniel, the 12th chapter. And the reason is because Daniel gives the same time period. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up." Now, I showed you that the 10th chapter is a mighty angel with a rainbow on his head. Most scholars agree that's Michael, the archangel. He's the chief messenger who stands up. Same one you see in Daniel chapter 12. "And at that time shall Michael stand up." Remember Revelation 10? Michael just stood up and said, "There will be no more intervention of time, that there should be any more waiting or delay. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." That mystery was the inclusion of the Gentiles and the total collapse of the old covenant system, where the power of the holy people is broken and their exclusive covenant with Yahweh has now been thrown wide open in the new covenant to both Jew and Gentile that can come into the covenants of promise. And so at that, it goes on to say, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince will stand up for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time the people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now, if you remember, again, this is terminology, again, that's used in the book of Revelation, but it's also terminology that Jesus himself used in Matthew 24. He said, when you see all of these things come to pass, and you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies and all of the stuff he said in Matthew 24, he said, then will be great tribulation such as was not since the world began or would ever be again. Jesus himself is saying the same wording that Daniel was talking about. And he goes on to say, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Now, he's talking about a resurrection. We're going to try to get into that in these two segments. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, what we're going to see in this 11th chapter of Revelation is the seventh trumpet is going to sound and there is a resurrection. It puts it squarely within the time period of this 42-month siege of Jerusalem and during the time of the last trumpet. And you can connect that to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he says that the dead will be raised at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. That trumpet sounded in Revelation chapter 11. Right after the two witnesses prophesy and the siege of Jerusalem and the power of the holy people is broken, it puts it squarely even with what Daniel is confirming. These are confirmed with multiple scripture references that put it during the time period of this first century fulfillment. During this time of great tribulation, and you need to go back and watch these if you haven't seen me before, because the great tribulation is not in your future, it's in your past. That alone ought to be good news to somebody. He said, let him that's in Judea flee to the mountains. You don't live in Judea, you live in the United States of America. These prophecies were given to a certain group of people under a certain covenant, and that's the only time they will truly fit. Can't go back and review all of that. But he goes on to say here that at that time many will awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, let me tell you again that when I think about everlasting life, I think in terms of, first of all, let me preface what I'm going to say by saying this. Everlasting life or eternal life includes going to heaven when you die. But eternal life was not being offered to them under an old covenant. It was being offered to them in the new covenant. And the translation literally should be translated, the life of the coming age. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him would not perish, but have the life of the coming age, or have everlasting or eternal life. That includes going to heaven when you die. But a first century Jew knew that this meant the life of the coming age, that life in immortality had not yet been brought to light because the gospel was not yet preached, and life and immortality would be brought to light through the gospel and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, when Paul writes in the scriptures and tells them, seek for glory, seek for honor, seek for immortality, he was talking about the life of the coming age that was about to be offered to them once the covenant with death would be disannulled and broken and this covenant would be removed. You see the fulfillment of 1 Corinthians 15 and the resurrection of the dead being soundly connected in the last few verses with the removal of the law. When he says, for the strength of sin is the law, and it's what gives death a sting and death power. But thanks be to God, he has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and we can say, oh, death, where is your sting? And oh, grave, where is your victory? Because I'm going to show you as we get over in here, our loved ones are not waiting on some great getting up moment. The moment they took their last breath, the mortal put on immortality, and the corruption put on incorruption. It moved from a natural body to a spiritual body. And yes, it is a body, but it's not the one that's sown that's raised. Now, I don't want to get into that yet because I want to deal with that in extent as we go down through here. I'm just simply showing you that he's talking about the life of the coming age, and so the everlasting shame and contempt would be the shame and everlasting contempt and the condemnation of that old covenant age, because he's going to raise many of those old covenant saints, and we'll see that, where they're judged according to their works. In the new covenant, we are not judged according to our works. We're judged according to whether we're in Christ or not. Our judgment in the new covenant is not in our future. It is in our past. Now, let me go back down here. It says, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Now, he tells Daniel, you seal up the book until the time of the end. What does the mighty angel with the rainbow around his head say? No more intervention will be of time that there should be any more waiting or delay. The time of the end, it's not talking about the end of time. It's talking about the appointed time of the end. The end of what? Go back and look at the videos again. The end of the old covenant age. The Greek word for world in Matthew 24, what will be the sign of your coming? And the end of the world is not a global collapse. It's the Greek word age. What will be the sign of your coming? And the end of the age. Namely, the end of the old covenant age, the covenant with death. And that's what's really happening here, because this is Revelation 11 is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jesus when you see Jerusalem encompassed with armies. Now Jerusalem is encompassing them. It's going to take place for a great tribulation. There's going to be war, and there's going to be famine, and there's going to be all hell is about to break loose as these woes are unfolding, because the Romans now have sieged the city and they're about to trample it underfoot for 42 months. And he tells Daniel, they'll shut up this book and seal it to the time of the end. But when you get to the book of Revelation, it says in the book of Revelation, don't seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is at hand. So for Daniel, it was in the distant future. For the book of Revelation, it was at hand. Big difference. But he goes on to say, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. But Daniel shut up the words and seal them even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, there stood two other. Now these two other, I believe, are the two witnesses. I'll show you in just a minute who I think they are. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the one on that other side of the river, bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, much like we see again in Revelation 10. And he said, and he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that lives forever, just like the mighty angel in Revelation 10 did. And swear that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be accomplished. That was the exact amount of time from the time that they sieged the city, from the time the daily sacrifice was abolished until the Jewish-Roman War. There were four particular sieges that took place during that period of time. But this is when it was times, times, and a half of times. And when he has accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things will be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall the end of these things be? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice in 66 A.D., from the time that the daily sacrifice, I've lost my place here, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waits and cometh to the 1,350 and 30, to the 1,305 and 30 days. The reason that you're blessed to come to that is because it's after the war has finished. It is after Jerusalem has been destroyed. It's those who have endured to the end that are being saved. He's not talking about you losing your salvation in these days. He's talking about they that endured to the end were saved. They were saved, first of all, because they're brought into the new covenant, and they're saved because now the destruction is past and they are beyond the great tribulation, and they are now in the time of the reign of Christ that is ongoing. Jesus is presently reigning right now. And he says, but go thy way to the end, for you will rest, but in the end you will stand in your lot at the end of days. Now, I put this in my notes. I'm just going to read some of this. I said, I think it highly possible that the times of the Gentiles could coincide with this text in the book of Romans. The exclusive covenant with the Jews has now been broken, and the power of the holy people has been shattered. At the end of this 1260 days, the old covenant has been removed. Now both Jew and Gentile can come into the new covenant through the only method by which men can be saved, and that is through the Messiah. The removal of all these trappings is declaring that the kingdom has now been given to the nation, producing the fruit thereof. This does not exclude Jews. It simply declares that there is only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that's at the name of Jesus. And then Romans 11:25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. Now, remember, the mighty angel with the rainbow on his head is declaring the end of the mystery. And he says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant that this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles is brought in. And then he gives these two witnesses. He talks about these two witnesses. Now, let me just read down through here, and then we'll come back and look at it. It says, he begins to prophesy in Revelation, the 11th chapter. It says in verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy for 1,260 days. And that's the end of this eschaton here. And then he goes on to say, these are the two olive trees, and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have the power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth as often as they will with plagues, as often as they desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Our Lord was not crucified in Sodom and Egypt. Our Lord was crucified in Jerusalem. But the Holy Spirit is calling it the city which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, because another exodus is about to take place, and they're about to enter into a promised land. Remember, in some of my former teachings, I told you seven trumpets sounded right before they entered into Jericho, and now seven trumpets are sounding in the book of Revelation, except this time they're entering into the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the new covenant, people and community of faith. And he goes on to say here, and when they finish their testimony, the beast will come up out of the bottomless pit and make war against overcome them and kill them. Their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the people, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell in the earthquake. 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were affrighted, gave glory to God. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Now, let me come back here and just kind of read some of my notes, because it takes me less time to do that, and we will kind of just begin to unpack this. I wrote in my notes, these two witnesses are symbolic of Moses and Elijah, which represent the law and the prophets. The reason I think that is because they have the power to shut up the heavens that it rain not during the days of their prophecy, and to smite the earth as often as they will with plagues. It was Moses who gave the plagues. It was Elijah who shut the heavens up. This, to me, is symbolic, iconic language of the law and the prophets who are now bringing the final indictment and the court case against natural Israel. If you remember right, Jesus said, when they asked him, but the prophets say that Elijah must first come, he said to them, John the Baptist is Elijah, if you can hear it. Now, what Malachi says that Elijah would do is he would come and turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Jesus said what happened when John the Baptist came. He was the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, but he said, you did to him whatsoever you listed, and you beheaded him. Curses are now about to come to them. They're about to indict Israel on its final. The law and the prophets are being fulfilled right in front of these eyes, right in front of their eyes. And the indictments that Moses gave in the law that said all of these curses and plagues will come upon you, and he told would come upon them, and he told them, teach them the song of Moses, because when you sing this and know when all these evils have come upon you, that it's God keeping his end of the covenant bargain. I already covered that when I compared the curses of Deuteronomy with the book of Revelation just a few weeks back. Go back and listen to them. But it is the final indictment of the law and the prophets. They're presenting the legal case against the harlot city that's now being judged. All that they prophesied is now coming to its manifestation. These are the days of vengeance, that all things which were spoken would be fulfilled in fulfillment of Luke's version of the Olivet Discourse. Remember the little book that was open had in it lamentation, mourning, and woe for the apostates. But it had redemption for the believers. The believers sang a new song, singing, Thou hast redeemed us, the song of redemption. These two prophets prophesied for 1,260 days or 42 months, times, and a half a time, the same period of time that these Romans are sieging the city, and the same time that the woman, same amount of time that the woman is kept in the wilderness, hidden from this tribulation, because God had not appointed his people to wrath, but to obtain salvation. They are enduring to the end, and the same would be saved. He wasn't just talking about your eternal redemption, although that is included. He was talking about those who would endure to the end of this period of time and come to the 1,335 days, that there was a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, and it would be a salvation that would be, yes, both spiritual and natural, but a redemption that was drawing nigh from the curses of the law. Their redemption was being not just from sin. He was redeeming them from the curse of the law. They were kept hidden from this tribulation because God had not appointed them to his wrath. I put in my notes as well, perhaps this is the other two that stood on the other side of the bank of the river in Daniel chapter 12. Could possibly be the two witnesses of Revelation 11. Striking resemblances to the verbiage with the archangel and all of that, so you can do with that whatever you will. But they are also the two olive trees from the book of Zechariah. The imagery is drawn from the idea that the mountain must be removed. In the book of Zechariah, he said, Who are you, great mountain, that stands before Zerubbabel? You will be removed with shouts of grace, grace to it. The mountain that is being removed is Mount Sinai. As we have already shown in one of the other trumpets, when the trumpet sounded, there was a great mountain burning with fire that was cast into the sea. Now, if you go back and see that video, Jesus mentioned this when he curses the fig tree after he rides into Jerusalem. And they marvel because he's cursed the fig tree, which is a picture again of the religious system of the apron that Adam used to cover his nakedness, but also a picture of natural Israel. No fruit has ever grown on you, and it will never grow on you. And he tells them, when they marvel that it's passed away, don't marvel that this is so soon happened. But you will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and it'll be done. It's not just any mountain he was talking to, and it's not just the mountain in your life. And while you can preach it that way and get some principles from it, he was talking about a specific mountain, and that was Old Covenant, Mount Sinai, was about to be cast into the sea, and that happened during the sounding of one of the trumpets. And he goes on to say that that mountain would be removed with shouts of grace, grace to it. The only other place in the scripture where there's a double enunciation of grace is in John chapter 1 when he said, Moses gave you the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. We must continue to preach and shout grace, grace, because what happens is we got a lot of old covenant prophets trying to raise that mountain back up. But who are you, great mountain, that stands before Zerubbabel? The city is being rebuilt just like it was in Zechariah's day. But this time it's not a natural city. It's a spiritual city. Old Jerusalem is being destroyed in Revelation chapter 11, but New Jerusalem is being constructed in Revelation 21. Old heaven and old earth are passing away, and a new heaven and new earth have come on the scene. An old covenant is passing, a new covenant is coming on the scene. There are also the two olive trees in the book of Zechariah when he shouts that the mountain must be removed. The chief cornerstone was laid. When he said the cornerstone would be laid with shouts of grace, grace. The chief cornerstone was laid, the old covenant was waxing away, and the mountain was being removed. Zechariah 5, there's a flying roll that is the curse over the face of the whole land. So when Zechariah prophesied, he said, these are the two olive branches. These two witnesses are the testimony of the flying scroll that's bringing the curses on the land to those who are not receiving the redemption. Remember, the book of Revelation is twofold. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit kills them, which speaks of the Romans, fulfilling the curses that came from Moses and Elijah, as you see throughout the book of Revelation, to smite the earth as often as they will the plagues. As I've shown prior to this, the plagues of Egypt are compared to the plagues of the book of Revelation. The prophecies of Elijah to shut up the heavens that it rain not are in fulfillment again of the curses of the old covenant, that God would withhold the rain. The death of these two witnesses seems to symbolize the fact that the Romans have successfully brought to an end the law and the prophets, even as all of their prophecies have now come to pass, and all the old covenant trappings have now been removed. Hence, they are celebrating the death of these tormenting prophets, their dead bodies lying in the street for 3.5 days. 3.5 days could speak of the 3.5 years. Using the day for a year principle would be equivalent to 42 months. The resurrection of these two witnesses could symbolize the resurrection of the martyrs of all the Old Testament saints as seen during the resurrection that would take place during the last trumpet. Remember, all these plagues and judgments are coming as a result of the prayers of the martyrs saying, how long till thou dost avenge us? And these, in fact, are the days of vengeance. And these woes that are being prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24 are now coming to pass. This could be also connected to Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 12, the resurrection of the old covenant saints and the martyrs. And we will cover that in the next segment. We are out of time. If you would like to sow a seed into the ministry, there's a link there where you can give through our PayPal portal. You can send a check or money order to the address on the screen, or you can call that number that'll come on the screen. But we do need your help. Call today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us.
For anyone struggling to understand John's writings in Revelation, this book provides true, biblically based answers. Through detailed insights into the letters John wrote to the seven churches of his day, you will learn how to avoid the mistakes of the early church to overcome today's trials and tribulations. This book will provoke you to thought and dialogue, bringing greater clarity and revelation of Jesus Christ.